This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast. I say welcome back because actually it's back for us, for Ryan and I, the first episode back in the studio.
Back from Las Vegas, the international convention.
Good time had by all, right?
Absolutely.
Good times, good times. Ryan, who are we talking to today?
Oh, today we have the pleasure to speak with Mr. Michael Notaro. Distinguished Toastmaster Michael Notaro of Alameda, California, is an attorney, a member of the Italian-American Bar Association, principal of the Notaro Law Group, and a licensed real estate broker. Michael, of course, is also currently serving as the international president of Toastmasters International. Michael Notaro, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you, Ryan and Bo. It's great to be with you guys. I look forward to sharing together.
Well, likewise. And of course, congratulations on your new position as international president.
Job well done.
And to get us started here, Michael, could you share with us how, when, and why you joined Toastmasters initially?
Sure, definitely. It seems like a long time ago, but I was a student at the University of California, 1985, the spring of my senior year, and kind of feeling anxious or nervous about, I didn't have a job lined up and really didn't have much going as far as what I was going to do after college. But I remember walking out of a history class one day and walking down the path at the university and seeing a flyer posted for a local Toastmasters club, what was called the Cal Toastmasters. It said, stand up and speak out, join Cal Toastmasters. And that is basically what I did. I went to the first club meeting. It was very exciting with students, kind of a mix of undergraduate and graduate students, just having a lot of fun, tremendous amount of energy. I remember there was not a seat in the room. I had to stand in the back of the room just basically to get in the room. But I did join that club, and it was a wonderful experience and a wonderful beginning.
Did you tell them you were going to be international president so they shouldn't make you stand in the back?
You know, I had no idea. At that point in my life, I really had no idea that Toastmasters was going to play such a role in my development. And, you know, I really have to be honest and say I wasn't thinking in those lines. I was really just thinking in terms of developing the basic communication skills. You know, I've always been a little bit on the shy side, and actually still am today, believe it or not. So I just saw Toastmasters as something that I wanted to do to help myself. I had no idea that I was going to be giving back to the organization in the way that I have.
When did the leadership bug kick in for you?
You know, the leadership really didn't kick in for about 10 years for me. I was pretty active at the club level, serving, primarily giving speeches, but I did serve in a couple club leadership capacities, but what happened to me is that I kind of discovered that there was more to Toastmasters than just showing up, giving a speech, and getting a speaking certificate. I began to saw a little bit of the bigger picture of growing in my leadership ability, having an impact on people, giving back to the organization and helping others grow and flourish, and really just started, like a lot of Toastmasters, at the level of a club president and moving to area governor, really enjoyed it, enjoyed the people, and felt like it was a tremendous, an excellent use of my time because I saw so many people benefiting around me. So that's kind of how it all came together, and so I think I can't remember the exact date, but it was probably in the mid 90s when I started to really get involved in leadership in a serious way.
Michael, let's talk a little bit about your role as international president. I'm sure for a lot of new Toastmasters, they hear international president and they think, oh, okay, that's the person who writes that viewpoint column at the beginning of the Toastmaster magazine every month. Obviously, there's a lot more to it than that. So could you describe your roles and duties as international president?
Sure, sure. You know, and that's exactly correct. The average member, who, by the way, the average member is at the top of the organization. The international president is at the bottom. You know, we serve the member first and foremost, and that's really the focus of all my duties and functions as an international president. I wear a lot of different hats. I probably couldn't describe them all in this brief call, but you know, the basics ones are, of course, I'm a public ambassador for the organization, and have various media appearances like this and in districts around the world. I'm also the leader of our board of directors, and we have an outstanding board of directors that represents the 14 regions that we have around the world, and we are meeting on a regular basis, so looking to improve Toastmasters International at every level that we can, to upgrade our brand and to do the things to make our organization as appealing and effective in the area of communication and leadership as possible. So that just gives you kind of a little basic overview. I do a tremendous amount of traveling this year. I'll be traveling to districts throughout North America and throughout the world as well. So that gives you a little overview.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of things there. Besides being on the Toastmasters podcast, what are you most excited about going into this year as international president?
You know, I am really most excited about anything that helps the average member, creates value in their membership, helps them reach their goals, achieve their dreams. And there are a lot of things that we are doing. Probably the thing I'm most excited about is you guys are aware we just rolled out our new Toastmasters brand, and we have a new color and texture and feel. And it's just been fantastic to see the response around the world. I'm excited as the eyes start to look up at Toastmasters, and many people think they thought they understood what our organization is about, and just being attractive and appealing to the world with our new brand is something that's exciting for me, and also delivering on our promise, delivering on the promise that we have to our members to have the very best communication and leadership training in the world. That to me is very exciting.
Great.
A role like this for an international organization is certainly not without its challenges, Michael. What do you think is going to be your greatest challenge as you look ahead to the next 11 months?
Wow. Well, that, you know, we've got, like every organization, we have challenges, things, areas where we would like to improve. One particular area that I would like to help us improve, we have a growth rate outside of North America of about 9%. Inside North America, our growth rate is about 2%. So one of the goals I have is to help us, and of course our branding is part of this, our new recognition system is part of this, but one of the goals I have is to really ramp up our growth, both our quality and growth within North America, to hopefully match or at least get close to the extraordinary growth we have outside of North America. So that would be certainly a challenge. The other challenge we're continuing to work through is that we live in a digital age. And we are working very hard with our staff to provide digital content delivery to our members. It's kind of a win-win sort of a situation. The more that we can, understanding that we do have concerns with copyright protection and those kinds of things, so we're working hard to provide as many resources as we can to our members as expeditiously as we can. So those are a couple of the challenges. Of course, growth in itself, to be honest with you, creates challenges. We have places in the world where many of our members do not realize we are really starting to grow. We have territorial councils in places like South Korea, and I was really excited at international convention to see all the members from West Africa. Our new territorial council in West Africa that is growing by leaps and bounds. So, of course, there are challenges as those organizations grow and have needs and things. So that gives you a little overview of that subject.
Yeah. When Michael, we know that you're going to be doing a lot of traveling this coming year. When you do, what parts of the world do you focus on? Is there any reason for going to the places that you go, or is it just basically their turn to visit, or do you focus on places that need more assistance? I mean, what's the logic and reason behind that, if you will?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little bit of both. We have a philosophy as Toastmasters leaders of serving our districts and serving our members. So there is a rotation of international officers. In the old days, it was just the international president, but now it's all the international officers, which includes me and John Lau and George Yen and Mohammed Murad, our new second vice president. We will all be visiting, and it's kind of a cyclical seven, eight years where each district we try to give them a visit from an international officer. You are absolutely correct. If there is also an area of the world where we feel like it's important and we can add value in some way, we will arrange a special visit to make that happen as well.
Would it be too much to ask you for some of the names of the places you're going to be visiting? Do you know that at this time?
The places I will be visiting this month, I'm very excited. I'll be going back to the New Jersey area, east coast of USA, which is District 83. And then next month, I'll be going to Southern California, District 12, the Inland Empire, which is a Riverside area of Southern California. November is going to be a real busy month for me, guys. I'm not going to be home very much in November. I'll be going back to District 36 in the Washington, D.C. area there early in the month, then District 37, North Carolina, and then from there I'll be going back to South Carolina for some executive board, Southern California for executive board meetings, and then I go to District 55 in Austin, Texas, in the middle of the month of November. December is pretty quiet, December and January, and then, of course, kicking up for the spring season, I'll be going to Chicago, Illinois in April. I'll be going to Northeastern Ohio, District 10, also in April. Manitoba, Canada, in May, the first week of May 2012. Then the last couple of weeks in 2012, I'm very excited. I'll be going to India, Sri Lanka, which is a part of the world that is really growing by leaps and bounds. So I'll be visiting districts 41 and 82 in India and Sri Lanka. And that's a mouthful.
Wow. Michael, do you have your own tour bus? And if so, can we be your roadies?
Well, I would love to have our own Toastmasters jet airplane, but we don't.
We'll work on that.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Michael, as I listen to you mention all these places you're going to be traveling, as well as the other responsibilities as president, I'm reminded, as you certainly know, that sometimes when people are offered the leadership opportunity, they'll cite all kinds of career and personal reasons of things that are already on their plates, taking up their time as reasons to turn those opportunities down. Could you share with us, I'm sure you're no exception in terms of having a lot on your plate, could you share a little about your career and personal life, as well as some of the practical things that you're hoping to do to try to maintain some semblance of balance over these next months?
Great. Yeah, that's a great question, and we talk about it a lot on our board. That you know, we live in a day and age where people are very busy. They have their work, they have their family, they have their church, they have their community involvement, and Toastmasters is one thing that they're involved with. And for me personally, I'll just say for me personally, because I do work a lot. I mean, I have a busy business here. We've got all a tremendous amount of legal work that we do in this office, and you know, it's we probably work 50, 60 hours a week. But what I feel on the issue of balance is that I feel like it's an issue of priorities in our life, and I encourage members to really determine what is important for you, and if your professional development is something that is a goal for you, if you want to become a better speaker and a better leader, you know, I'm going to be speaking next month to right here in Northern California, the officers for the U.S. Coast Guard. All will be assembled in the West Coast Training Facility, And they have come and said, you know, we are looking for leadership training. We have this as a priority. And I say to Toastmasters that these skills are crucial to success in any area. So I make them a priority. I make it a priority to go to my local Toastmasters meeting. I know when I have to get out of the office. I know when I have to get back. And so, you know, the issue of balance to me really flows out of that, because you can't do everything. You can't do everything in life, and you have to decide those things that are really important. And we're aware that there are a lot of busy people that turn down Toastmasters because of that. But we also feel like if we make it clear to them the benefits that we offer, the real life benefits that they can experience, the prospects for promotion in their job, to build businesses, to become a speaker, to become a leader, to do the things that our members have, those goals, that they make the time. Now, with that said, I'm also very mindful as international president that we as a leadership group do everything we can to make it, to remove the burdens to leadership. In other words, to use the electronic media to do as much training for our club officers and district officers as we can, and to ease the administrative burden. We have a new financial software program that we've implemented in the last year that will hopefully save a lot of time. So what we want to do is make it not necessarily, the word I'm thinking is not necessarily easy to serve, but we want to make it as valuable so that the time that they spend in Toastmasters yields the greatest benefit for their lives. And that requires, you know, having the balance. Now, some people have told me, Michael, your life is going to be imbalanced as international president, and I haven't found that at all. I really haven't found that. I've found it very reasonable to fulfill my commitments as international president and work a full-time job. So I actually enjoy it.
All right, let's say we mentioned this before. You talked about the refresh branding, and I think we might have mentioned the new tagline. But why don't you share your thoughts, your personal thoughts, on the organization's refresh branding and the tagline? And then also maybe just tell us the organization's motivations behind it, if you will.
Sure, sure. You know, it had been long, long time since the Toastmasters brand had been refreshed, and we did a lot of testing. We hired a company called Innovation Protocol, that a professional company that does a tremendous amount of brand refresh, and really went out and looked and said, "Hey, what is the public perception of Toastmasters?" And I have to say that, guys, it was very humbling for me to hear a lot of people saying, you know, that they saw Toastmasters as stodgy, as old. And I don't see it that way. I hope you don't. I see it as a fresh organization, as a growing and a dynamic organization. But it also meant being sensitive to, hey, this, for a lot of reasons, that's the public perception of our organization, or a perception for a large number. That's a concern, because people who see Toastmasters as not relevant to their needs, they don't even give us a second look. And so... Yeah, that was the thinking behind refreshing the color, the font, the texture. Tremendous amount of time and research went into that. And I want to say, too, that, you know, the logo is just the look and the feel. That's what gets people interested. Our brand is much, much deeper and much, much richer, though, than just the new color and font. It is the experience that every member has when they walk into a Toastmasters club someplace in the world. And that's the aspect of the brand we are continuing to build and to grow, and that I'm very excited about.
And how so about the tagline? Where leaders
are
made.
The tagline. Yeah, it is exciting. Toastmasters, where leaders are made. And you know, many of us, as we grow as communicators and leaders, we sometimes just don't even become conscious of that, of how our organization benefits. But we saw the two main areas where our organization does provide skill-based training, which is in communication and leadership. And we realized that not all speakers are leaders, but all leaders have to be excellent communicators. And we realized that we provide not just the communication skills, but the broader base for influence and for impact in our culture through our leadership training program. So the leadership, the reference to leadership, really is all-encompassing of a whole panoply of skills that our members acquire as they grow through our educational achievements. So we're excited about that, and that's a little of the thinking behind our brand and our tagline. There certainly people have images of Toastmasters and stereotypes and viewpoints that some of them are not accurate of who we are and what we do, and that's, you know, so very important, because we're seeing increasing numbers of young people get involved in our organization. I was in Philippines, and I was just so excited to see so many of the young people, just like I was when I was in college and coming out of college, who see the Toastmasters program as a place not just to have fun, but to really develop their career for life success. And that's what we want. We want to offer that professional development to people across the board, whatever age they are, whatever ethnicity, wherever they are in the world. Our goal is to fulfill our mission and provide a Toastmaster chapter, hopefully within a close proximity, where they can go to get that skill-based training.
That's great. Michael, as of course you know, this podcast has a listening audience that spans around the globe. As we wrap up our time together today, is there anything in particular you'd like to share with our listening audience around the world?
Yes, I definitely would. And I know a lot of the listeners are Toastmasters or people who are interested in learning about Toastmasters. And what I would say to your listeners is take the next step. Stretch. Toastmasters is a program that is designed for professional development, to become a better communicator and a better leader. And sometimes there's reticence to take a leadership responsibility, whether it be to be your club vice president of publicity, to be an area governor, to help out with a district conference. I can say that if you take that next step, if your listeners will take that next step, you begin to grow as a leader and a speaker. That experience will provide you with the framework for stretching your potential, stretching your abilities, and meet people who maybe you wouldn't have met before, have an experience you wouldn't have had before. And all of that makes you a better speaker and a better leader. So it's all about professional development, but it requires that initiative to take the step, to take the leadership role, to take the speaking role, to do those things. And I understand that people sometimes experience fear and anxiety, or they don't have time. But I can say that every step that I have stretched, it has resulted in a great benefit in my life. So that's what I would encourage our members to do, is set a goal, stretch your potential, and do the best job you can as a Toastmaster.
All right.
Great advice indeed.
Good message. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We know you're a busy guy. You have a lot to do this year, so we're going to let you go and let you get to it.
Great. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate the chance to be on the show.
You bet.
Thank you so much, Michael.
You take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.